DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor Essef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by Pope St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, and sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
So what's in your heart today, Monsignor?
I personally am so delighted when we come to March the 25th, because it's my mother and father's anniversary. And my whole life has been surrounded with stories about Lent and the feast. My mother and father wanted to get married during Lent, and they had to get dispensations. They had to get dispensations all over the place, because now think of this. We're talking about 1927. Their pastor says, I can't marry you, and they want to elope. Can you imagine? We want to be married, and we want to elope. Well, many of their relatives and friends in those days, you know, there was such a big deal, and marriages were so celebrated with feast. And so, you know, now it's in the middle of Lent. Now you can't have a big wedding. Okay, but we just want to get married. And so the stories that I hear on how they went to Scranton and how they petitioned the bishop for a dispensation and how they actually lied about my mother's age because she was only 16. And my whole life I've listened to these stories and how she was going to be leaving school and she was going to get picked up and then they were going to go to the priest. It was just so, for me, so romantic when I hear it, because the story is that she was to have married another man that her father had promised her to. She had grown up in a family of arranged marriages. Her sister's marriage, my Aunt Mamie, was arranged by her father, my grandfather. Her other sister, my Aunt Helen, her marriage was arranged. My Aunt Jenny, all their marriages were arranged, and so was my mother's. She was promised to someone when she was 9 years old. That was the custom in my mother's family. No, they fell in love. They wanted to get married, and so they went against my grandfather's wishes. Dad and my mother got a dispensation on this particular feast. And that's what I think about when I think of March the 25th. Thank you, God, for that wonderful gift that they went before Father Corey on this day and they took their vows of marriage and they actually were married 60 years before my mother died. And so it's a great feast personally to me. But I want you to listen, Mary, in the midst of Lent, as a prayer. If Lent, you know, what is Lent, these 40 days that we have? And we're right smack in the middle of it. And the church is putting March the 25th, that's 9 months before December 25th, because this is the day that she conceives Jesus. And the circumstances are so intimate to our salvation. And so the account that the church gives us in Luke of this brilliant, magnificent woman, when we have her as a model of prayer, she is the most outstanding. And listen as we read from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, beginning with the 26th verse. It's astounding. Magnificent prayer. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, favored one," some say, "full of grace." It can be either translation. "The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this greeting and what was said to her, and she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Think of that revelation. Listen to what God has just said to this marvelous favored woman. "I have a son," God is telling her. No one ever knew that. That's the first time that had been revealed to anyone, not even the angels. Only God knew that God had a son. And now the first one to whom that is being revealed in prayer is Mary. And God is actually asking her permission because he's waiting for her. It's not going to be forced on her. "I have a son, and I want him to be your son. You will conceive in your womb my son, and his name will be Jesus." And she was very acquainted with the prophet saying that he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, the house of David. It was promised that they would have a king whose rule would be forever. And so the reign of this son, whose name will be Jesus, will be forever. Not just the kingdom of David, but this rule will be forever. She knows that that's the Messiah. Now, she's astonished at this. What a marvelous thing that we have the opportunity in prayer to respond to God. And that's what Mary does. But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" Mary, in her heart and in her life, although she had been betrothed to Joseph, had vowed her virginity. That's obviously what's here. And that's obviously what she's saying in prayer to God's request, to be the mother of the Messiah, so that her virginity was so deep within her and her relationship with God was so pure and so committed that she had said to this invitation to be the mother of God that she would not, because no human being had ever been born into this world without intercourse. Because listen to her, "How can this be, since I know not man?" In scriptural language, it's right here, as she says it, "I have no sexual relations with a man." Very clear. The angel answers her question, because her question is not doubt, it's just clear. "And the angel said to her," now another revelation, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. Mary is now hearing the revelation. She is a magnificent Jewess, and she's a magnificent woman, and she remembers Isaiah's prophecy, which is in today's Mass, for us to hear it again, because the prophet Isaiah had predicted. And when, in the 7th chapter of Isaiah, again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask for a sign for the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the netherworld, or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord my God." Then he said, "Listen, O house of David, is it not enough for you to weary men? Must you also tempt God and weary God? Therefore the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin will conceive a child and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." There we have it. Mary, all these hundreds of years later, after Isaiah's prophecy, she knows the scriptures. She knows the history. She's so brilliant. She's so magnificent. And when she hears this, then she says, "And behold, Elizabeth," the angel goes on to say, "your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Prayer is to hear God speak to us. And prayer, especially, is our response to what God has to say. Listen to this prayer, Mary. The most magnificent prayer in the entire world. She is teaching us how Jesus prays because of her immaculate heart. Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your will." Mary says yes to God. Mary says, "Let it be done." What is the power of Mary's prayer? It's complete obedience. In the Mass of the Annunciation, in the Mass of this day, the Annunciation that Mary is to be the Mother of God, we have this magnificent reading from the letter to the Hebrews. And It's so key to complete and total prayer. "For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats take away sins. For this reason, when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. Holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight in.' Then I said, 'As it is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will, O God.' For he says, 'Sacrifice and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offerings according to the law.' Then he says, 'Behold, I come to do your will.' He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will we have been consecrated through the offering of the blood on the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Mary's yes brings into the world, right at that time, when she says yes to God, she conceives in her womb. This is the moment of our salvation. Mary, because of her yes, conceives Jesus. who is the Savior of the world. Prayer, as it is given to us today in this Gospel of Luke, prayer, as it is predicted, is the virgin who conceives in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. What do we have here today? We have the Trinity. Every Christian who is listening to this and is offering prayer during these days of Lent is for the first time having revealed to someone, to Mary, that our God is a Trinity. When we say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, when we glorify God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, when we were baptized into the life of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that Trinity entered into us. But it could not be until here we have the Word of God that entered first into the heart of Mary. Mary heard God in her heart. And Mary, in her heart, said, yes, be it done to me according to your word. And then that word, God, the Son of God, became flesh in her womb. She first heard it in her heart and then conceived him in her womb. Look at the example that she's giving us today. When we pray, what are we doing during this Lenten season? We wanted to become more one with God through prayer. The whole of this Lent, we've been asked to offer prayer and sacrifice and alms. What is that mainly all about, and really entirely all about? It's the will of God. What do we give God? We do his will. What Mary is giving us today is in this time of prayer, this exchange between God and Mary is exactly what we hold her up as a model. I'm really so sorry that my Protestant brothers and sisters don't see the key person that she is in their relationship with the Almighty. Every baptized person, Protestant, Orthodox, have a great love, the Eastern Rite, for Mary and Roman Catholics. But we want to share this also with every Christian. You love the Father, you love Jesus, you love the Holy Spirit. What a model she is today of relationship with the Father, relationship with Jesus, and relationship with the Spirit. Mary, on this March the 25th day, right in the middle of Lent, is held up. Look at her. Daughter of Yahweh, daughter of Jehovah, daughter of the Father. Look at her. Mother, mother of Jesus. Without her, yes, our salvation wouldn't have come. She and God himself was asking her for permission from her. And since she always did God's will, because that is the discernment that she was making in her prayer, is this going to be pleasing to God? She had given to God her virginity, and now he also reveals to her, yes, you maintain your virginity, and I will give you this child by the power of the third person, the Holy Spirit. I'm revealing to you another person that I am. God is Father. God is Jesus, the second person. God is the Holy Spirit, the third person. And so the Trinity is involved in our salvation. The Trinity is involved with Mary. We also teach, and I think it's very important for us at the middle of the Lent, when we're holding up Mary on this feast of the Annunciation of our salvation. We also teach that that same woman, she suffered also just like Jesus in this world, and she either died according to the two traditions. One tradition of the East is that she died. Another tradition is that she fell into a deep sleep. It's called the Dormition of Mary. You can believe either one, but then she was never buried here in this world. My mother and father, whose feast day is today of their anniversary, they died, and they too had the Trinity within them, praise God. And in their 60 years of marriage, having been baptized, having been confirmed, having received the Eucharist really as a practice daily for many, many years, and then married in Christ on this day, they died. My mother died on January the 21st, 1987. My dad died on September the 11th, 1996. And so he closed his eyes. Actually, the Twin Towers came down a year later on September the 11th. But he died a year before that. And their bodies are buried in California. Their souls, we believe, have gone to God. And Mary, when she either had a deep sleep or died, was assumed into heaven. You see, Mary, like Jesus, where is Jesus' body? It's at the right hand of the Father. Where is Mary? Plunged into the middle of the Trinity. So now when you pray, today, when you go into your heart, actually, all of the souls are in the Trinity. Mary is in the Trinity. Where is heaven? In you. Where the Trinity is. In our prayer, I invite you today, as you enter into prayer, do you realize it's really magnificent when you can make it real. The kingdom of God is within you. You are in him. He is in you. When you pray, you actually enter into God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mary, actually, her body is there. When I enter into this enormous the world of mystery, when we pray, we have been invited. This is for ordinary people. This is not extraordinary mysticism. Actually, we have been called through prayer to enter into union with God. This Lent, hopefully, you will come to experience that he is in you. As I am in the Father, so I am in you. Remain in me and I in you. As the vine and the branches are one, as the head and the body is one, so I am one with you. And so when you were grafted into, when you became part of this body, when you were the vine, remain in me and I in you. And what I have done, you will do, and even greater things. The unity in prayer, the power in prayer, is to discern what is the will of God constantly. Mary gives us that example in today's prayer. Father, what is your will? Even to become the mother of God, Mary asked, how can this be? And how can I remain a virgin and still be the mother? And God answered her by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Mary, in her prayer, when she understands that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit, then she says, be it done to me according to thy will. The prayer of Mary was a perfect prayer to do God's will. All of us, as we are entering more deeply into this Lenten season, have Mary here. Our favorite prayer is Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, in me, as it is in heaven. You and I, like Mary, can actually do God's will. All day today, 24 hours of this day, in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, and tonight, that's what I pray. That if you hear this, ask Our Lady, O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. And let's, with Mary, be able to say all day long, be it done to me according to thy will.
She's really queen of the discerning heart, isn't she?
Perfect. She, you know, what you're into, as I was praying with this text today, and just to read it again and again for your enrichment. She, just read it on your own. See how it strikes you. See how the heart of Mary is always pondering. When that's what it said she did. She pondered his greeting. She pondered his words. When you are praying, ponder God. Listen to God. And God will speak. And you will listen. And then you will respond. Perfect, perfect prayer. And a perfect example of Lenten prayer.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer rock-solid and authentic spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.